It can very definitely become in our country an active and conscious leader in the other direction, which helps to turn people back out of the dangerous swamps of socialism with communism just beyond, towards the firm dry land of individual freedom and individual responsibility once again. The great basic theme, excuse, and selling point of collectivism always is security. The word and the concept have so powerful an appeal that many people are willing to pay a fabulous price in other values for even the flimsiest and most visibly exaggerated promise of security. And security is perennially held like a bauble before the masses by ambitious demagogues to beguile the masses into supporting all of the foundation planks on which tyranny is erected. Now, in practice, security is obtained in exchange for one of just two things, for either freedom or labor. And throughout all of history, the trade has almost always been entirely for freedom. In feudal times, the vassal attached himself to the baron, accepted the baron's orders, and lived at the level and on the terms decreed by the baron for the sake of security. Frequently, the baron, in turn, pledged the same obedience and accepted the same dependence in his relationship with a prince or a king in order to obtain a corresponding measure of security for himself and his own vassals. The idea of political security goes back much further, of course. In the earliest Oriental despotism, where individual man seldom had anything to say about the nature or conduct of the government under which he was born, and then even in the Greek city-states, where individual man made his first serious efforts on any sizable scale to determine the nature and power of government for himself, in the European monarchies under the theory of the divine right of kings, in fact, basically in all governments, political security has been the justification given by man to himself for the whole idea of government, and the surrender of the political freedom of the individual for that protection and security provided or supposedly provided by the state, that surrender was usually complete. The corresponding concept that the state, the government, might or must provide economic security also was far less definite originally, only gradually and occasionally acquired varying degrees of completeness, and first became a serious, extensive, and continuous factor in the whole problem of government in the bread and circuses days of the Roman Empire. But once the expectation, our hope, had been established in the minds of the masses, this expectation and hope of having economic security handed them has persisted as a recurrent tool of demagoguery ever since. For the masses are not told and do not themselves realize that the only complete security, both political and economic, is in a prison. They don't realize that until some country like Soviet Russia or Communist China becomes just one vast penitentiary, partly by having appealed to this desire for security. And all of this history, ladies and gentlemen, has clearly proved one thing, and this will summarize practically all I have to say on economics. It is far better for an economic system to have a million salesmen trying to move the too much than to have a million ration clerks trying to divide the too little. Now, the first is the Americanist system, and the second is the communist system, and we think ours is infinitely superior. Unfortunately, over the present and recent decades, the demagogues and power seekers and plain communist criminals who work and advance behind socialism as their ideological front have been pushing us steadily from the Americanist position towards the communist one. They expect to carry us all of the way. If and when they do, then even all of the security they have promised will be a total sham. And every American, including all members of the medical profession, will have given up their freedom entirely in a gradual and insidious exchange for this fraud of security. So what's to be done about it? And why am I putting this picture before physicians? The answer to both questions is very simple. The only thing that can be done about it, to stop this trend, reverse it, and save our country, is to wake up enough of the American people to what is happening, to create enough understanding of the real meaning of what's taking place around them. And we appeal to you, doctors, and to all members of your great profession, to give your mighty help, for here is a place where medicine truly and consciously can lead the way. There are several reasons why you, physicians of America, can become such an extremely important part of the total Americanist educational army. Most important is the influence which you have with your patients. The second is that you already have the mechanical means at hand for helping tremendously in the distribution of educational materials which present the conservative viewpoint, and against which all normal channels have now been so nearly closed by the subtle but ruthless pressures of the collectivists. A third is that your work, your standing, the nature of your service to the community, and the need for that service are such as to make you a little less vulnerable to the attacks and harassments of our collectivist enemies than conservatives in many other professions, positions, or occupations. But there's a fourth and final reason for counting hopefully on so much help, and even more help than in the past, from members of the medical profession, and this is quite complementary to your profession. This hope is based on experience as well as analysis. For we already have in the John Birch Society far more doctors than we do teachers or lawyers or ministers or members of any other learned profession. What is a stronger point, when we come to chapter leaders and section leaders, the percentage goes up immensely. For while there are exceptions, of course, the very fact that a man has gone into the medical profession is extremely strong evidence of his leaning towards the individualist rather than the collectivist philosophy of life. You have an automatic screening which has already taken place with regard to character, intelligence, conscience, true rather than sham humanitarianism, and love for our country and for the opportunities which it provides for men like yourselves. Not all doctors are patriotic conservatives with a tremendous sense of responsibility to God and their fellow men, but the percentage runs very high. If it did not, I would not be here tonight, for we are in a battle against time, ladies and gentlemen, and we need all of the truly able and dedicated help we can get, and we need it fast. Now, this is in no way a pitch for you to join the John Birch Society, even though we have gathered into the society the finest body of men and women in the whole world today, and even though most of you would certainly be heartily welcomed as members. But this is no such plea. No such plea would be appropriate on my part, and I refrain, so you see I'm not kidding, I refrain from even asking or suggesting that we have any literature to give out, any introductory material of any kind, or even make any arrangements to mail any to you at all. But it is a plea for you to join the great and growing total force of conservative American patriots who are determined to save our country from becoming simply a smudged carbon copy of so many despotisms of the past. In England today, there are four bureaucrats or clerks telling the doctors what to do to every practicing physician. Some of the Medicare proposals already introduced into our Congress, just on the intermediate way to the complete socialization of medicine such as they have in England, would require staff committees to review individual cases, to tell each of you physicians in charge of a case whether or not any further treatment was required. In England, under the completely socialized, bureaucrat-controlled system, doctors with full panels can allow only 3 minutes to each patient, including the time for both paperwork and diagnosis. The whole traditional relationship between doctor and patient has been destroyed. And the whole setup is such an unhappy one for the doctors that hundreds of them are steadily migrating to other countries. But where would or could you gentlemen migrate to if America goes under the socialist chain? We can look around us and see what has happened in other countries. We should be willing to take to heart Santayana's great admonition that those who will learn nothing from history are condemned to repeat it, and learn enough so that we don't have to repeat it. And we hope that more and more doctors, profiting from experience and observation, will join more energetically and determinedly in the great undertaking not only to save your wonderful, wonderful profession from becoming merely an agency of government, but to help all the rest of us to save for our children and their children the whole glorious country and humane civilization which we ourselves inherited. Thank you for letting me go so long.